Welcome back, everyone, to State of Belief Radio. I'm Welton Gaddy. After almost 2 years of roller coaster expectations and speculations too numerous to remember, this coming Tuesday is a day of national elections on which registered voters in our land will choose whose vision and values guide our nation for the next 4 years, and likely also shape majority opinions on critical issues coming before the highest court in this land for decades to come. Think back with me over the long campaigns and ponder, if you will, some of the most important lessons we've learned in this election cycle. During the Republican primaries, not one of the politicians acknowledging that God called them to run for the presidency received their party's nomination for the presidency. Not one. Now, does this mean that God's a poor politician? Or could it be that these would-be candidates mistook personal ambition for spiritual direction? Whatever the answer to that question, the United States still does not recognize a divine right to the presidency. A second lesson from the campaigns confirmed what previously existed as a strong presumption or suspicion. The dominant motivation of the religious right always has been and is now not religion, but politics. The goal has been power, not righteousness. The conservative religious community was divided in its loyalty because more than one candidate claimed God's endorsement. Now, if you're always doing what people say God told them to do, and that's the people you support, well, it was confusing this time. Early on, however, despite that disparity, no voice from the religious right dissented from the agreement that Mitt Romney was the most dangerous potential candidate, and that because of his religion, what most in the religious right called a cult. The governor of Texas, like the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Dallas, and the head of the Department of Religious Freedom for the Southern Baptist Convention, decried the possibility of a candidate who stood outside Christianity. However, once the Republican Party nominated Mitt Romney as their candidate, long-held theological convictions gave way to political loyalty, and those who had decried the nomination of Romney now endorsed Romney. Doing so, they exposed for all of us either the weakness and flexibility of their convictions or the priority that most shapes their convictions. It was all about political power. Religion had absolutely nothing to do with it. Why, even the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association removed from their website their designation of Mormonism as a cult and agreed to a photo op with the Latter-day Saint candidate. Gone was the cover for the religious right, as well as the integrity of its convictions. Third, both candidates have been far more cautious than candidates in recent years when talking about religion. At Interfaith Alliance, we applaud candidates not using the persuasion of religion as a political strategy. At the same time, though, we lament the lack of attention in the campaign devoted to the meaning and importance of religious freedom. That foundational constitutional issue has been largely ignored in a time when religious groups are trying to change the meaning of religious freedom and gain support for an interpretation of the First Amendment that bows in compliance to their sense of sectarian privilege. Fourth, in this campaign cycle, we have seen as never before the power of money, the power of money to increase incivility, to demote truth to a distant periphery, and to turn an election into a contest to prove who's the richest. Sadly, even the candidates themselves have played fast and loose with the truth. In some instances, statistical errors have been made in presidential statements, but in other instances, outright lies have been declared as straightforward truths. At times, changes of positions have occurred so rapidly and dramatically that voters have been left wondering about a candidate's true plans for the future. Most presidential elections seem the most important election ever. This coming Tuesday carries the weight of such a feeling. Thankfully, though, the choices are clear this time. Hardly could the two major candidates for the Oval Office be more different. We, the people, will make the decision about who wins this election. Please vote. Another old cliche is absolute truth. Every vote counts. I urge you to participate in one of the most important days in our democracy and to demonstrate your importance and the importance of your vote. And then next week, we'll talk about the results of the 2012 national elections. Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. Please visit us online at stateofbelief.com to find out more about the show, hear extended interviews, read transcripts, and sign up for our podcasts. You can learn about the new State of Belief app for iPhone and Android devices so you can listen anywhere, anytime. Share your thoughts on what you've heard on Facebook and Twitter. Contact information is available at stateofbelief.com, including the toll-free listener line, 800-856-0277. And of course, as always, we urge you to tell others about the show, engage them in conversations about our discussions, encourage them to listen and join our discussions. State of Belief Radio is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Become a member today at interfaithalliance.org. And join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics. Until then, you all take care of each other. I'm Welton Gaddy. That's State of Belief.
The only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. Yes, he was. He was. Yes, he was.